Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Delta Flyers' journey through the wormhole with Quark, Dax, and their good friends Tom and Harry. Join us as we make our way through episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Your hosts for today are my fellow Trek actors, Armin Shimerman, Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself, Garrett Wong.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
You know what, everybody that's listening, if you want bonus material, extra stuff, join us at patreon.com/TheDeltaFlyers. That's patreon.com/TheDeltaFlyers. Become a patron today and you'll get lots of extra bonus material. We'd love to have you part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you need Latinum? Do you need Latinum?
Yes. You have to pay in Latinum. Exactly. Speaking of Latinum and valuable things, how's that valuable production of yours going?
Oh, bless you for asking. We had our opening night, and it was grand. Ira Bear, our executive producer, was there last night. He had a wonderful time. The night before, Nanah Visitor and Michael Dorn were there. They had a wonderful time. I think Nanah had a better time than Michael, but they were. And the audiences were superb. In fact, we're selling out rapidly. So if anyone is in the Los Angeles area, and you know, we run until the middle of March. If you want to see our production, do call right away. You can, and I'm going to advertise. You can go to www.anteus.org and get tickets. But do hurry, because this, and I'm not bullying you, the seats are selling out quickly.
Oh, that's wonderful news. By the way, I always thought about pronouncing your theater company Anteus for some reason, because of that A, the tricky A-E-U-S.
Yeah. As we, the mantra that we use is Anteus, come see us, as opposed to Anteus, you have to pay us.
Oh, okay. Anteus, come see us. Anteus. Yes, you're right. Everyone makes that mistake.
That's funny.
On my call, actually, Armin, my call that I just had earlier with the admirals and prophets, one of them was at your opening night, actually. So he tried to, you know, he was like, yeah, I saw Armin, but I wasn't able to say anything. I said, oh,
well, he should have. Yeah. I mean, he should have come over. Everybody else did. So it would have been very nice. We had a couple, if I may, we had a couple that flew from Connecticut to Los Angeles, not last night, excuse me, not opening night, but the day before opening night. And they had a wonderful time. In fact, the lady who was sitting in the front seat, I think she galvanized the entire audience because of her laugh. Everybody was laughing for 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? If you have one or two people in the audience that get it, that just lock in and start responding, it definitely cues the rest of the audience to kind of go along for the ride.
People think they're alone in the dark. It's not true. It's not true. It's a community. Every theater audience is its own community, and you're seeing something that will never be seen again, because that particular performance will never be repeated, as opposed to film or TV.
Very very true.
So the gentleman that showed up to your opening night, that was Rich, our resident pilot, and
Rich Gross,
a pilot, flying instructor extraordinaire from Oregon. So he flew down to come see the
I'm
opening.
Honored. Thank you. Yeah. Please thank him for me. Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. All right. We have some birthdays today, actually. Yeah. We'll start off with Jeremy Connolly Mays on March 14th is your birthday. Happy birthday, Jeremy.
Happy birthday, Jeremy.
Happy birthday, Jeremy. We also have one of our youngest Delta Flyers, Isela, whose birthday is on March 15th. That's Anna's daughter, Isela, who we've seen, you know, born during this podcast, and now it's her birthday. What is she, two, I think?
Two.
2 years old. Isela, happy birthday, Isela, on March 15th.
Happy birthday, Isela, but I warn you, it's not a propitious day that you're born on. March 15th is the Ides of March. Which is the day that Caesar was stabbed in the Forum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, she's two, so we're not going to scare her about stabbing. No, so we're just going to say.
No. She won't really understand what it means.
She won't understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just imagine her going, "Et tu, Brutus?" Okay, no. So happy birthday, Isela, March 15th. Happy, happy, happy birthday.
We've got an amazing episode this week.
We do.
Yes, it is called Visionary. And we have some poetry and
Yeah.
some linguistics,
We do.
etymology. I'll start off with my limerick
Please.
or visionary. Here we go. Miles O'Brien has a bit of a time leap. The Romulans visit. They're kind of a creep. Miles jumps heroically ahead, but Miles too returns instead. The reality of this switch is really quite deep. There you
Very
go.
nice and
Yes,
very true and very
it is.
true. Very
Yes, it's
true.
very deep. This plot of this episode, for
It
sure.
is. It is. All right. Here's my haiku for visionary. Romulans arrive. O'Brien keeps time jumping. Secret plan found out.
Very
Excellent.
nice
Excellent. Excellent.
synopses.
Excellent. Thank you.
What kind of etymology do we have today,
Well,
Armin?
visionary, the title of the episode, is originally from the French, visionnaire. In the OED, the Oxford English Dictionary, it says, able or accustomed to see visions, capable of receiving impressions or obtaining knowledge by means of visions. Secondary definition is given to fanciful and unpractical views, having little regard to what is actual or rational, speculative. And a third, a rather unused definition is disturbed by visions. All three of those definitions, I think, apply to this episode. I
Yes,
like it.
absolutely.
I
It's a
like it.
perfect title for this episode.
Yes. Let's talk about who's behind this episode. Story by Ethan H. Kok.
Who?
Ethan H. Kok. And the reason why you're saying who is because he sold this story on his very first pitch session to Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Wow.
That's not
Better than.
easy.
No, it's not. I tried it once. It didn't work. And I had an in with
Yeah, you were very well
the
connected.
writer. So, the writers knew you personally. They didn't know Ethan from Adam. Literally, this guy walks in. His very first pitch session was for Rene Echevarria. He was the person in charge of that pitch session. And he comes in and bam, the very first one, he's able to sell that, which
Did
is
he work
pretty.
after that, or was it a one-off? Was he
No,
like
he
a
said he
one-hit
also
wonder?
he after this, he pitched numerous other ideas before finally landing his second sale. He contributed to the story for the episode Children of Time, which has not been we're not
We
there
haven't
yet.
seen it
So
yet.
no. So yeah, so he did more than just one episode, but still it's very impressive for anybody walking off the street to get anything sold off the bat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that was
Absolutely.
really
Do you know
nice.
that Star Trek was the when I was working on Star Trek was the only show that was being done that accepted people that didn't have agents, writer pitchers. If
Yeah,
you
submissions.
could get a an appointment, you didn't need an agent, which is very rare in Hollywood.
Very rare.
I'm very proud of the fact that the writers were open to new pitches, and many of our writers had come from that very thing that they had approached the next generation, and had gotten pitches accepted.
I wonder if Star Trek, if back in Gene Roddenberry's day, from the very first series, if he realized that the public, also known as fans of the show, were a valuable resource, that he would get as much inspiration, from listening to the fans and people that watched the show and knew the franchise. So he may have kept the doors open just because it's smart. It's a smart thing to do.
He may have,
Right?
he had wonderful science fiction writers on the staff of the original show, incredible science fiction writers. And they may have been open as well, so.
So the original pitch, instead of having O'Brien go through the time jumping, Ethan H. Kok had actually pitched Odo to be the character that's jumping through time. Yeah. But then Rene Echevarria in that pitch session basically said that it was ch he changed it because the writers felt that they had done too many Odo stories for that season. So they were like, let's go with somebody else. They went with O'Brien. Kok also had used the Nausicaans as the villains as opposed to the Romulans. But then the consensus was the Nausicaans are more of a fringe species. Let's choose a species that people are more familiar with. And they went with the Romulans.
I spoke to Ira about this episode recently, and he's very happy with this episode, especially because what they were able to to espouse and build up was the incredible friendship and relationship between O'Brien and Dr. Bashir. And you can certainly see it in this episode. In my mind, those two actors do incredibly splendid work in this episode.
I agree. I think this was a really good episode
Yeah,
overall.
I
I
agree
mean,
too.
problematic with, doppelgangers or, doubles jumping into your regular, opens up a lot of questions, but very interesting sci-fi premise and really well done.
That's because you've got Colomini doing it, and he's incredible.
Well, the story being by Ethan H. Koch, it was the teleplay that was written by somebody else, and that was John Shirley. If that name is unfamiliar to the both of you and myself, it's because I don't think John Shirley was a part of the regular writing staff, because according to the interwebs, Ira Stephen Baer asked a friend of his, John Shirley, who was well-versed in complicated science fiction concepts, to write the teleplay. So this is like Ira calling up his buddy going, "Hey, you're a huge sci-fi fan. I think you should write the teleplay for this," which again, it's very unheard of and very, am I right, Robbie? Who
Well,
does that?
I want to look back at where this sits in season three. This
Okay.
is
It's a bottle
episode.
show. We know that much.
It's a bit of a bottle show,
Yeah.
but in season three, this episode 18, 19, 20. Where are we?
Somewhere in time.
Yeah,
Somewhere in
somewhere
time.
in time. Oh, we're in episode 17. So 17
17
out of
out of 22. Two.
26,
20,
26 this year.
26. Wow.
You guys did
So
26 season three.
I
Okay.
wonder if they were just maxed out, if the writing staff had been given assignments already. And at this point, you're
Oh.
three quarters of the way through a 26 episode season. And it might have been smart for them to bring in a freelance writer because everybody else was at some stage of their script or breaking the next. If this is 17, you've still
At
got.
17, they're already thinking about the last episode and what that's going to be about.
And they've
Well.
still got eight more episodes to do. So yeah, they're maxed out. So that makes sense that it would be an outside person to me.
Okay, got it. Well, there you go. There's a plausible explanation for that. Thank you, Robbie. Directed by Reza Bedi. So Reza comes back again to direct an episode. We have guest stars Jack Shearer, who is, I think he's in every Star Trek incarnation. He was the Starfleet human admiral dressing me down on Voyager in the
Oh, really?
episode. Yeah, in the episode where I go back to Earth,
Oh,
and
yeah.
Mark Kiley, your friend Mark Kiley's in that one as
Yep.
well, right? So Jack Shearer is the admiral that yells at me basically, and now he is the main Romulan official. That's the thrust of this episode is Jack Shearer, and you can't not hear Jack Shearer. You hear his voice,
Now
you
that
know
you
it's
say
Jack
that,
Shearer.
I remember our show and this actor. Yeah.
That
Yeah,
voice is, it's just
he comes
so,
through the
it's
prosthetics.
very distinctive, very
Yes.
distinctive.
I don't care what the guy's got in his face. You're going to know it's Jack Shearer
I
immediately.
wonder how much theater he's done, because it certainly sounds like a
Oh,
theatrical voice.
most definitely. It's projected at the back of the house. We can hear that. We also have Annette Helda as Karina, which would, I'm guessing, be the other Romulan official, the female. Yes. And we have Rae Young as Morka. I think that may be one of the Klingons.
I hope so.
Yes, I
Yes.
hope so. Bob Miner as Borak, and Dennis Madelone as Atul. So Dennis was another Klingon, is it my guess?
Yeah, so Dennis, yeah, and also I think Tommy, one of the other stunt people, was also a Klingon as well.
Okay. Tom Morga, yeah. I saw Tom. Do you call him Tommy? Is
Tommy, yeah.
that what you
I
we
call
never
him
call we
Tom.
call him Tom Morga. I guess he graduated from Tommy to Tom when Voyager started, so.
But I'm disappointed that the Klingons didn't get any guest star billing, that just the Romulans did. So I mean, the Klingons should
Yes.
have gotten guest
They were
billing as
co-star
well.
only. They didn't get guest star. You're right.
Well, let's dive right in. We've got O'Brien is lying on the floor right off the top. He wakes up on the floor of the pit in ops. Bashir's attending to him. He's got some mild radiation poison from a plasma conduit that exploded. Sisko says, light duty for you only from now on. And Kira pops in, says the Romulan delegation has arrived. Sisko's got to go talk with him. So So he heads off. They go to meet the Romulans who are arriving. I did feel like this opening scene, there's so much great work that Reza did in this episode, but this opening scene was a little flat to me. It felt like
Not to
a,
me.
oh
Not to me.
no?
I like the camera angles. I like the fact that the camera was on the floor shooting up. I really did like that a lot. Why did you think it was flat?
Well, I think because he played this in the pit, that there wasn't a lot of room to move the camera or get a wide shot or anything. So I felt like coming into the opening, imagine a theatrical production. If you start your play with someone in a tiny light on stage, it feels very small. Whereas if you start the play with the whole world, the lights come up and you see the whole world, it feels a little bigger. It feels like, okay, welcome to the show. This felt a little, to me, like everything was in close-ups. And yeah, the low angles look good, looking up at Sisko and Kira. But it just
I
felt
just want to say that my production of Twelfth Night starts with a single light on
one little person.
in the
Yeah, there you
dark.
go.
So thank you
It's
very much,
you're welcome. You're welcome.
Robbie.
Well, as I was using that analogy, I'm like, that could be a cool way to
That's
start a play.
it
So
is, it
honestly,
is, it
yes,
is, and
honestly.
I think it's a cool way to start the episode too. But okay, we Shaka Songu, as they say.
Exactly.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
O'Brien's had he's been injured, but seems okay. Seems like Bashir's going to take care of him, right?
Yes.
We go to the promenade next. Security is dragging a drunken Klingon out of, I think, Quark's,
But
but
I don't know, actually.
hard to tell because that was another. I have to admit, at the top of this, I was like very directorially critical because I was like, why didn't you pan? Why didn't you see them dragging the Klingons out of where they were coming from? We didn't see where they came from, they just stepped into frame. Drag them out and then reveal Sisko and Odo walking. It would have been some nice movement, but it was just kind of a static shot. Klingons popped in. They're drunk. Odo's escorting them. Sisko and Kira cross with Odo. Sisko says, keep an eye on those Klingons to Odo. Says, the Romulans are coming. We don't want any trouble. So already setting up a bit of a problem, having
Yeah, if
Klingons
they
and
say that you don't
Romulans.
want trouble, you know you're going to
There's
get
going to be
trouble.
trouble. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I just think a panning shot would have been nice, but again, I'm kind of directorially critical maybe at the top of this. I
Okay.
lose that very soon because Reza did a great job. But yeah, maybe the reason they didn't pan them out of Quarks is they didn't want to pay for the extras to fill up Quarks for
But
a
they
quarter.
use a lot of extras in this episode.
They
There's a
do.
lot of extras in them. I'm going, wow, there's two, three people crossing behind the series regulars, and I'm going, wow, that they didn't really need those, but they paid for that. So good for them. And their makeup artists, because some of them are Bajorans, so.
You know, Armin, we did an interview with Karen Westerfield recently that
Oh,
was
good.
so wonderful for our bonus material on the Patreon
She's very funny.
subscriber.
She's
So
very funny.
funny. Really great to hear her stories of doing makeup and yeah, just all of it, her whole career.
Well, she was
Great.
there every day that I was there, and sometimes more, and sometimes more.
I think we go to the airlock next. And oh, I made a note. So in this next scene, they do pan them coming out of the airlock and meeting, here come the Romulans, and we see them exiting the airlock, and then it pans over and we see them run into Sisko and
Well, we leave
Kira.
Tom out. We leave t Tom comes out of the airlock, but he's
Yes.
not in the master. He's
But
not in
he's
the
not in
master
the
suite.
rest of it,
No.
exactly. The Romulans arrive. They are quite rude, I thought, by the way.
Well, you're gonna say rude. I'm gonna say they're all business. That's all they
Yes,
care
true.
about. They don't want to play around or have
No.
accommodations because that's what Cisco's offering them. We've turned the bed down
That's,
for you.
yeah.
We've got some places. They
There's
don't
a
that.
mint there for you. Yeah.
Yes. We have a mint.
Yeah.
We don't care about your spa or your mint. Just enjoy.
But they do show up at the bar a little later, so
Yes,
okay.
they do.
That's true. That's true. But they're here for intelligence about the Dominion, about what's on the other side of the wormhole. Sisko escorts them off. We go to Quark's next. Quark is hanging a dartboard. I guess it's going to stay there. This
It
is
does.
the
It
introduction
does.
of the dartboard.
Yes, this is the episode in which Miles O'Brien introduces darts to Quark, a game which will be featured throughout the rest of the series. So the board itself was first shown in the previous episode, Profit Motive, but now the actual introduction of the game happens in this episode.
Quark does not seem very excited about putting this up. He doesn't understand what's going on, and
it doesn't seem profitable.
No.
No, but kudos to Armin Shimmerman for finding a way to look awkward and throwing darts. My goodness, I've never seen any human being throw darts that way. And
I'm not a human being in this.
Yes, you're not a human being. You're right. I've never seen any species throw
Miles
darts.
Miles says,
that
go
way.
Ahead, throw. And you've got all the darts in your hand. You sort of look at them and you're like, okay, and toss the whole pile.
And I'm sure that was in the script. So kudos to the writers for suggesting it.
It was funny. We did get a shot of Morn with a couple of darts in his jacket, which I thought was funny because Quark says, you know, what is Quark's line? He says something like, what if that got in his eye?
It got in his eye. Do you know how much an eye costs?
How
much an eye
it.
Costs?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, do you know how much that Morn jacket cost wardrobe to build? They just put holes in it.
They didn't even give Mark, who plays Morn, they didn't even give him a line to say, hey, or something, you know.
No,
he just sits there passively. For a guy who's supposed to talk all the time, you would think he would have said something.
If you listen carefully, there is a reaction from Morn, like a grunt. Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's
which he
there.
Probably didn't do.
Probably did not. No. But the other thing I have a problem with in this scene, it's a cute scene, but when you throw the darts, Armin, you have two. There's two darts, okay? And as you throw them, both of them get stuck in Morn's wardrobe. But if you listen to when the angle is on you, when you're being filmed, you throw it and you hear ugh, like that, and you hear one stick and one fall to the ground. You hear the Foley is clunk clunk clunk, like it hits the ground. But then you have the reverse on Morn, and both the darts are sticking in him. So the other one should
good
not
catch.
Have hit the
ground. Good catch. Good catch. Good catch. Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you.
I'll go back and reshoot it.
Okay, perfect.
Miles O'Brien goes to show him how to throw a dart at this point. And by the way, I did notice that Colm had great technique with the dart. Like in his hand, it looked like Colm has played some darts in his life.
I think he's been in a bar or two in his life.
Or a pub with a dart board in it.
Yeah, the way it just came back. It's like when you see an actor, you know, smoking a cigarette in a movie or something, or and you can tell if they're real smokers or not, the way they
immediately
hold, you know, kind of awkwardly, or it's an extension of their body. That's how it felt with the dart. It was great.
Extension of his body.
Yes, it was.
I agree.
A little white flash takes us into our first time jump. O'Brien is now suddenly up on the promenade upper level, and he finishes the throw on the upper level, but he looks around and he's just jumped to a new place. We'll learn it's a time jump. And they do a shot, a push-pull shot here. It's a Hitchcock kind of shot where the background kind of warps, which I thought was very cool. It was a great way to introduce this. And he looks across the promenade, sees himself talking to Quark on the other side. They're talking about how the Klingons broke the holodeck, and then Quark goes back inside. Quark says, well, did you ever say no to a Klingon? Besides, they're paying me double. He heads back inside. And then O'Brien looks over, Miles looks over, Miles sees the other Miles, Miles 2. They see
and
each
so
other.
Does Quark, by the way. Quark sees the other O'Brien as well.
In this
That's
one
what
or
I was
later?
Gonna say.
No,
he
in
sees
this
it
one.
Yeah, in
he
this
says,
one?
He says the line. The line is, I see you've got other problems. I'll leave you alone.
That's in the second time
That's
it
in the
happens.
Second time.
This is a quibble I've got. In this first time, Quark says, did you ever say no to a Klingon? Besides, they're paying me double. Goes inside.
Yeah.
Doesn't see Miles.
Correct.
And in the second time he pops out, Quark sees him.
Right.
And
says,
that's
when
you've
he
got
says,
bigger problems.
You've got bigger. Yeah.
Which sort of confused me because I'm like, well, if you're jumping time, then wouldn't the same exact thing happen that you saw when you jumped it last time?
You would think.
They should have probably told me to clock that there was another O'Brien there.
Right.
Of course, when we were shooting it, there wasn't. But they should have asked me to clock that. And I guess they didn't. They didn't think it through.
I think that this is a little, I guess, the rules of time jumping. I don't know what the rule is, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's my only quibble with this episode is I didn't understand some of the rules that they laid down. And I went, that doesn't follow. It doesn't follow. But I like this episode a lot. That's my only quibble with this episode.
But Robbie, let me get this straight. You're saying in your mind, it should have matched every time. There should have been the awareness of Quark to see O'Brien number two and say, oh, you've got more problems in this one, even the introductory time.
Or either that, it should that should have matched in the first time what happens in the second time, or in the second time, it should have matched exactly what happens in this time.
Which is he's not aware of
it. Doesn't see him.
Yes, correct.
But they were a little different, which kind of confused me. But
it is, yes.
In the second time, because I was like,
eh. And the extras didn't clock it either in either scene.
Right.
Yes.
They did not. One did.
I mean, nobody clocked it because, as I said, when we're shooting it, there's not two O'Briens. If they're going to do that, it's not just the main cast seeing two, but everyone should have seen.
Everyone should have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
They have a moment the first time where we're at right now. They see each other, and then we flash back, and O'Brien hits a bullseye back in Quark's, but he looks around disoriented and then sort of faints.
So what's that tell? That tells us basically only a millisecond has passed when he jumps. Am I right? Because it starts when he's aiming and throwing, and then he goes to the promenade, and then he comes back. Yeah, he comes back. He sees himself, and he comes back into the reality of the dart game, and the dart lands on the board to end that scene. Is that right? So it's like done. Okay.
Yes. Now, I don't remember, so I'm going to ask the two of you, when you're shooting that sort of thing, do you just do continuous of the one scene that is broken? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
The dartboard, do you just continue on so you don't have to make any continuity adjustments? Or do you stop, look where everybody is at that second, and then reform that when you come back?
I would think you shoot
all the way through.
Yeah, shoot it through. Yeah.
I think that's usually how it's done. Unless you jump back in time and something has changed, if you're going back to the same moment, it should just play through. Mm. Miles has fainted. He's down on the ground. We go to the credits. We come back. He's now in the infirmary. Bashir's checking him out. Bashir basically says, oh, it was a muscle spasm. That's why you... Darts can be very dangerous. It was just a muscle spasm.
One of the things that I found interesting that will play all through this episode is the lighting. I found the lighting. Mm. It's the first time I'm really noticing there's a great deal of light on O'Brien and less light on Bashir. Mm. Sometimes, that's not just the only time. Sometimes, especially when you went from two shots or three shots to singles, the light was brighter on the faces. But if you went back and look, the light is very bright on O'Brien through most of this episode, where it isn't always that way on the others.
On the other actors. Interesting. I wonder what that was, the intention of that.
I don't know. Unless to say this is our hero and therefore he's more lit. I don't know. But sometimes there was just shadows on people's faces, and I went, I don't remember there being shadows on people's
faces. That many
faces.
Shadows. Yeah.
So Reza had a conversation with the DP and said, hey, this is what I'm looking for. And that's what he did.
I mean, in the 40s movies, you had special lighting for the actresses and
the
actors.
For the stars. Who were the glamour lighting. Yeah, for sure.
And they look great. My fellow actors are beautiful people. But in this episode, they all look terrific.
Yeah. Yeah. This episode looked great. I think Reza did a great job. The lighting's great. Even with my quibbles, again, I'll say it, I really enjoyed this episode. So.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, Armin, because now I want to message Jonathan West and ask him, like, please, can you rewind your memory banks back to when you were doing this episode?
If he looks at it, he'll see it. It's brighter on O'Brien.
Okay. I did not
O'Brien
notice that,
and Bashir are standing next to each other, yet O'Brien is in more light
just
than
glowing.
Bashir is.
Like, he totally pops compared
he
to
pops. He pops.
Compared to Bashir, right? Bashir's kind of just in the
background.
Yeah,
I mean, there's plenty of light sometimes, but O'Brien. Brian's popping.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Well, he's in the infirmary. Bashir says it was just a muscle spasm. Bashir doesn't think this is a big deal.
Yeah. Who knew you had to stretch and pull and just kind of get ready to play darts? I didn't know you had to.
You gotta warm up.
You gotta warm up for darts.
You'd hurt yourself. But Miles says, no, he jumped in time. It just felt so real. What happened to him? But Bashir just does not seem worried at this point.
And there's a little banter. I want to go back to something that Ira told me the other day. Is there's a great deal of of warmth and friendliness and banter and friendship between these two. It's not stressed in this episode, but
No.
there's a lot of it. There's a lot of really good, you're understanding these guys are really friends.
Yeah, well, even when Bashir's teasing him a bit about his fantasy life, he's like, if your hallucinations are about Quark's maintenance problems, that's a very poor fantasy life you've got. So, yeah, there's a nice banter between them, a warmth and teasing and friendliness that's really nice to see. This wardroom speech we open up, I just have to say, boy, does Ruwan have a lot of questions in this opening speech. It was like, we're here. To protect, to get information about the military capabilities. How many ships do they have? Where are they deployed? What are their plans for the future? Are they planning an attack? He just goes on. It's a very opening line. I was like, whoa, whoa, pump the brakes, buddy. It's a lot of questions to start with. But they have a very tense conversation. They focus in on Odo, which I thought was interesting.
Well, because they thought immediately that Odo would have all the answers. It's like, okay, he's a changeling, just like the founders. They're all changelings. So Odo clearly knows the plans of the founders. He's like, no, he's never been, well, he's met them, but he doesn't know them. He's separate from them.
He's separate, but as the years go by, we learn that there's a connection between all the changelings, that there's a mind meld, if we can call it that. Now Odo may not be a part of that, but the others do seem to have an affinity, an awareness of each other. So, okay. He's not tuned in as yet, but he could be, and maybe that's what Ruan is
Is
indicating.
wondering about,
Right.
Well, Sisko is very defensive and Kira are very defensive of Odo. They're like, he has no loyalties to these founders. They don't seem convinced. They want their information. They made a deal for the cloaking device, and they want to get the information that was promised them. And
I mean, it's a very good negotiation. I mean, they make a point. We gave you the cloaking device. You have to give us
What
our
you
part of the deal.
promised.
And I went, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah,
And Sisko agrees with him. He's like, well, I'll have to ask Starfleet, but you're right. You should get everything that you're entitled to. So tense, but feels like, it's going to all work out. We go to the promenade on the upper level. This time, Quark stops Miles O'Brien about the holosuite. So it's kind of back to that jump. Miles starts to answer, but then he realizes he's in that same moment, but in reverse now. He's now living the future, and he looks over and sees Miles too, or the other Miles over
So we
across
had
where he
listed
was.
in my notes too, Miles One and Miles Two,
Miles 1 and Miles
yes.
2.
Well,
But
that's the
this
difference
time.
then, Robbie, right? That is the difference because he knows now, and that's why he looks over, and that's why Quark looks over this time and not the prior
That's
time.
the change in
Because
the
that's the
timeline.
change. He knows that he's already experienced this moment. Am I
That's
right?
true.
So
Yeah, that's
that's what
true.
changes
That
it.
does track.
And all,
Because
but
he,
Bashir has told him, and it's all in his imagination. But now he looks over and he goes, no. And not only is it not in his imagination, but my character also sees them and makes a comment as to, yeah, you got a problem.
But
Yes,
Quark
exactly.
sees them because of O'Brien turning his face towards that
Absolutely,
side. Am I
absolutely,
right?
that's what changes the
That
timeline.
changes it. Yeah, okay, well now it's explaining itself
It
for
does
us.
make it makes more sense. That explains it. Quark sees him too,
Yeah.
says the holodecks can wait. He leaves, and we go to the commander's office next. Dax is there talking about a temporal disturbance that happens each time Miles O'Brien has this time jump experience. And we learn that he went into the future and just returns to the same moment that he was just in. So we've seen that. She's starting to explain it, list her theories, when suddenly Miles jumps, flashes into a bar fight in Quark's. And there's two Miles in here now, Miles One and Miles Two. Miles Two gets knocked down. Miles One kicks a Klingon's butt. He kind of disarms this Klingon that's got a knife. And Miles Two says, look out, just as a chair starts to fly. And we snap back right back to Dax.
But before you do, you also see in the background the Romulans are sitting at a table, of
Oh, I
course.
didn't catch
That's
that.
right. Yeah, they
But
are.
that would make sense.
I just want to rewind a little bit back to when Miles One sees Miles Two, and when Quark finally, you know, for the first time sees Miles too. I just find that it's so funny that because we're a sci-fi show, like if this was not a sci-fi show, if one character saw another a duplicate of another character across the way, they'd be flipping out. But because we're sci-fi, because this is Star Trek, Quark's response is like, it looks like you have bigger problems. And he just leaves. He doesn't go like,
Oh,
look,
I
it's
guess
another Miles. There's
you've got a
no.
mirror universe guy over there. Well, good luck with
Yeah, good
that.
luck with that. That happens all the time. Bye. I have a bar to tend. To me, that's just, you know, I laugh at that because it's sci-fi
You're
and it's Star
absolutely
Trek.
right. You're
Am I
absolutely
right?
right.
Yeah.
It's very
Like if
funny.
you were playing principal, you know, any other role that you've done that not as an alien, as a human being, you would be shocked to see your compatriot being duplicated half a block away, right? You'd be like, what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
Absolutely.
okay. That's all. Just
That's funny.
footnote. Yeah.
Well, when Miles flashes out of this fight fantasy, or it's not a fantasy, but time jump, the fight time jump, he comes back to Dax to where were they? The commander's office, I
Yes,
guess.
they're in ops. They're in ops.
And ops, he pops back there. She's just finishing her theories, and then he faints. So I guess her theories are very powerful. They just make people faint. Dax makes people faint.
Yes,
Well,
but
we know from the very first scene that he's been infected with radiation poisoning.
yes, that's
So
right. That's right.
there's some understanding for his fainting.
Yeah.
We
Right.
haven't been told how the radiation is affecting him, but the time jump certainly is affecting him, but perhaps also the radiation poisoning is affecting, as we'll find out later on.
I don't know if either of you found that comical, but every time he fainted, it made me laugh. I don't even know
Oh,
why.
really? No, it didn't make
Just the
me.
way O'Brien, just the way Colm decided to fall over made me. I just was very invested in this episode, and I just laughed at a lot of things. But I was also entertained at the same time. I'm not being
Yes.
critical. I'm just bringing it up. It was humorous to me.
Yeah, he faints good.
He
He
faints
does
well.
actually
He's
faint
a
good.
good fainter.
Well, when you faint, you go back to the infirmary, and that's where we are. Bashir is working on him again, but now Bashir says, well, there's some minor nerve damage happening, and if this keeps happening, this is going to be bad. This damage is going to get worse. They talk about Dax is working on it, but Miles, you know, he's confident still, pretty confident that he's going to. That everybody's going to take care of him. Dax and Bashir, they're all working on it. So he doesn't seem worried.
It's a hallmark of Cullum's acting, and one of the pluses, I'm not denigrating him at all, but that very little really affects O'Brien, as opposed to my character. Everything affects my character, but I love the subtlety of Cullum's acting. I was blown away by his acting in this episode.
Yeah, he was very good.
Instead of being overacting, he just subtly takes it in and accepts it, and I kind of love that.
Yeah, it was very good. Sisko's a little worried though about this time jump with the bar fight between Klingons and Romulans and all that, because this sounds like something that could happen. So Sisko is worried about this, you know, this makes sense. So he says, keep the Romulans away from Quarks. We'll try to prevent this, you know, from happening. And that's when Kira enters and she wants to talk to Sisko. So we cut outside to the promenade. There's a bit of a walk and talk. I like this. This was like long lens walk and talk, and then some coverage, and then another walk and talk with a long lens, which is a very flattering, you know, kind of focal length, I think, for that promenade. It just makes it look busy and filled with life. And it was.
Again, a lot of background people. For a bottle
Yes.
show, there was a lot of background people.
Yes. Looked great. Well, Kira's walking with Sisko. She says she can't believe that now the Romulans want unlimited access to all their sensor records, their personal logs from everyone that was on the Defiant. So she's not happy about this, thinks it's too
No.
much.
Funniest part at the very end of the episode where Sisko says, "And Major, when you're in with the Romulans, try to be diplomatic." And Kira says, "I'm always diplomatic." And we flash to the next scene where she's not diplomatic at all. It's
No,
like,
she is not.
But
Very,
you know,
very funny.
I have to ask you guys a question, and it's because I really don't remember. Does the Defiant belong to Starfleet or to
Yes.
it
Yes.
belongs to Starfleet?
Yeah,
Okay.
because.
So Kira's being upset about the Defiant and the logs is really out of her purview, isn't it?
I because
mean,
she's not Starfleet, because she's
she's not
Bajoran.
Starfleet, she's
Okay.
Bajoran. I
Yes,
mean,
that is a point.
she's a liaison, of course,
Right.
and has a lot of power on the station, absolutely.
Yeah.
The second in command, one would say, but it's the Defiant is not her responsibility.
Right.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, that makes sense with Kira and the Defiant specifically. I felt like what she was responding to was more like they want our personal logs.
Yeah,
They want
that
to
I
know,
understand. That I get.
yeah, which kind of carries over into this scene with about when they're talking to her about Odo, that she's more about, wait, they're really overstepping here. They're wanting things that they don't have the right to.
So, and then in this next scene, something occurs that I just brought this up now for that next scene. Okay.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, I was going to say when when you think about it, she is the second in, she is really the first officer for Sisko, correct?
Yeah.
So Sisko going back to Starfleet in that one episode, he leaves the station to go pick up the Defiant. He brings it back to DS9. So I almost feel like she feels like this sense of possessiveness because she is the first officer. She's like, ah, it's ours too, even though she isn't Starfleet per
Yeah.
se. You know, maybe that's working into this
I totally agree,
familiarity.
but I'm holding off my
Yeah,
comments
okay,
until the
that's
next
fine. We'll
scene.
get to it. We will get to
Okay.
it.
Well, in the next scene, when she's very not
Not,
diplomatic,
yeah.
they accuse her personally, on a personal level, of abandoning the Defiant prematurely, which she takes very big offense to. I also
Right.
liked in the opening of this that the camera was sort of moving behind the heads and moving
Yeah.
around. So it
And
feels
a
like you're.
long shot across two desks that have lights in them, and I thought,
Yes.
wow, that's an interesting shot. Instead of focusing on the actors, we get the sense of how long the room is,
Yeah. Yes.
because we see the two lights. And there again, she's in the dark in the long shot.
Huh.
Really,
Very
she's in the
silhouetted.
shadow.
Yeah.
And then the moment we get a close up, bright light. And I go,
Right.
when did she move, or did the lights just go back on?
The lights just went back on. Well, they accuse her of abandoning the Defiant. They accuse her. They start accusing her of a relationship with Odo, asking her very personal questions about Odo. L they push it so far that she they say, have you had a physical relationship? Is he interested in you personally and more than a friend? They just push it, and she gets up. She loses it. She says she's done. If they ask another Odo question, that they will end up floating home in space outside the bulkhead walls or something.
That's a
So that's it.
threat. She's
Oh, yeah,
threatening
that's.
them. Okay, she goes, and I suggest you avoid asking Odo those questions, or you just might find yourselves on the other side of that bulkhead floating home. So she's saying that if you ask Odo those questions, he's gonna throw you into the space. Or she's saying if you go ahead and ask him more of those questions and I hear about it, I'm gonna be the one throwing you into
Oh, I
space.
thought she was the one throwing.
Okay, that's how
That's what
you
I thought.
translated that. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll buy that.
So here's my qualm that I set up before.
Yes.
She says, oh, when she gets really upset, you can take your cloaking device, you can take that back. And I thought, you have no right
Yes.
to offer that.
Yes. I don't think she does. She's
No
overstepping.
matter if she's second command or not,
Yeah.
it's a Starfleet thing that they
Property. Yes.
negotiated.
Yes. You're right.
Yes. Yes.
Well, she's taken it upon herself to say that this is also part of her existence as well, clearly.
She's
So
very
that
sensitive, Kira.
she
She's
is.
very
She's very
sensitive.
sensitive. She's very sensitive.
We go back to Quarks. We've got some more darts with Bashir and Miles O'Brien. Julian's very tired of playing. They've played a lot. 10th game, I think. 10th game in a row.
Yeah.
And Miles O'Brien, he wants to keep trying because he's trying to see when the fight happens.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
And he says, all of this just feels too familiar. And just then, some drunken Klingons pass with Quark. Miles grabs Quark. He says, Quark, you promised not to let these Klingons in here. And Quark says, well, they're paying me triple now, so.
Also, I
Yes.
promise not to let you them in here, but they weren't in here. They were in the
They were in the,
holosuite.
that's right, in the holosuite.
Yeah.
Technically, they were
He
in the
actually,
holosuite.
O'Brien says, Quark promised not to let them in the bar. That's the exact
That's
line.
right.
And he says, no, they weren't in the bar. They were in the holosuites.
Yeah,
Right.
he didn't break any promises. But the Klingons do surround a table of Romulans, basically say they should get out of here. Uh-oh, we know there's going to be trouble.
Yeah,
Like in the
because
beginning
Tommy's
when
sitting
he's,
there, and you know the
yes,
stuntman is there's
exactly.
going to be a fight.
When there's a stunt man in prosthetics, you know there's going to be a fight.
That's true. That's very true. Anytime you see Tom, Morga, or Danger, something's going to happen.
Yeah, if Danger's there, there's something's going to happen. Yeah.
We have a quick little scene in security after that moment where Kira fills Odo in on the questioning. She says, "You know, it's crazy that they think you were interested in me." And he says, "Oh, yeah, of course, that's crazy." So, nice little moment.
I am so impressed that this happens in the third season, that all of this back and forth about their relationship, when I know where it's
Where it's
going
going.
and how long it takes to get there.
Wow.
Okay. Don't spoil it, but
No,
we hear
no.
you. Okay.
I do too. I mean, even whenever it happens, I love that they're tracking this so in such a little nuance. It's great. But just then, after the, yeah, it's totally ridiculous moment, Quark calls. There's a fight in Quark's. We cut back to Quark's deja vu. It's the same fight we saw before. There's two miles. They smile at each other. Just when the chair thing happens, which is where we left the fight the first time,
Correct.
we cut out to a corridor, and suddenly there's another O'Brien. I don't know if this is miles one, miles two, or miles three. I have no idea. But
Oh,
we
that's
flash to
right.
this hallway, and this Miles gets zapped. He's opening a panel or something, and this beam, like a phaser beam, comes shooting out.
Okay, can we just construct the flow chart here? So Miles one is
Yes.
in the bar fight, seeing Miles two fighting against the Klingons. And then at
Yes.
some point, when the chair flies and Miles one ducks and the chair goes over his head, Miles one immediately is transported to the corridor to see Miles three getting zapped and dying from the zap. Is
I
that
think
right?
so.
No, I would
No?
disagree with that.
Okay.
I would say that it's Miles one that's being zapped by the
Miles
panel.
one is being zapped. Yeah,
Oh,
it's just a
boy.
different time. It's just
Okay.
Miles one has progressed in time, and
Yeah.
now he's at the panel and checking this thing out, and then Miles two sees it from afar. That's the way I saw it anyway.
I don't
It's
know.
so
A
confusing.
time jump stories break my brain.
They're fun, they're cool, they're inventive, but they are difficult to wrap your head around,
Yeah,
that's for
if you look
sure.
at them too closely, there's a lot of,
You could get a
yeah,
headache.
yes, you get a headache. But they do, he sees the Miles that appeared in the hallway to see himself get killed by this beam of energy goes over, checks his pulse. He's dead.
Flat
So
out dead.
basically, this is
Yeah.
the part of the time jump story where we know, uh-oh, Miles in the future at some point is gonna die.
Right.
That's where we're headed.
Right.
And again, kudos to Cullum for being very subtle about facing his own death. It registers. It's very much registered, but he doesn't overdo it. It's very subtle and very nice.
And good choice on the writer's part to not stay with Odo as the main character in the initial pitch session and move it to Miles, because he did, again, Colum did such a great job.
Absolutely.
Well, on the topic of what you're talking about there, Armin, in the next scene in the infirmary, Miles sits up suddenly. Flashes in the infirmary, flashes to, I guess, Miles One now, sitting up, and it reveals Bashir that we're in the infirmary, which I thought was very cool, actually. It was a great shot for Reza to start down on the bed and see Miles as he wakes up, come up and reveal Bashir. Bashir says, "You collapsed outside Quark's about an hour ago, but you're going to be fine." And very subtly, Colum delivers the line, "No, I'm not going to be fine. In a few hours, I'm going to be dead." And it reminds me, I was talking with Alan Tudyk about this recently. Alan was saying, you know, when a character has the line, "I am, they cheated me, they robbed me, they did this, and I'm so angry about it." He said, "When you get to the part where the character becomes aware, that's not where you let the anger out." He said, "The lesson is, you know, they cheated me, they robbed me, they did all these things. I'm so angry it." It's almost to yourself, that release of emotion. Whereas I would say a less sophisticated actor might go, "I'm so angry," and scream it, you know. And that's what O'Brien, or that's what Colum did in this scene when he
Less is
said,
more.
"In a few hours, I'm going to be dead." It was very simple. It was so beautifully done. Yeah. Yeah. Great.
The KISS principle, right? Keep it simple, stupid.
Keep
Just
it
keep it simple.
simple, especially when it comes to these big ideas, if like death or mortality or a strong feeling. You don't have to put the feeling on top of the words about the feeling.
It's already
You
in the
know,
words. It's in the
yeah,
script. Yeah.
I'm gonna be dead speaks for
Trust
itself.
the words. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Robbie, have I told you that I've been using this amazing VPN called NordVPN?
Oh, wow. You know, I've heard about VPNs, but I am a Starship pilot, so I'm not exactly sure what they do.
Let me give you the technobabble description. A VPN is a secure connection between your computer and a remote server managed by the VPN provider. An encrypted tunnel, kind of like a wormhole, is created through which all your data is sent securely. Robbie, you know how I spend at least half of my time in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Well, before using NordVPN, I had all these different streaming apps that would only work while I was in the US. I would fly to Canada and I would be out of region. So now I'm able to access all the apps I normally use in the States so that I feel like I'm getting full usage of all my streaming subscriptions.
Amazing.
With NordVPN, you can protect your private data like bank details and passwords. You can protect your data while traveling and using public Wi-Fi. Very important. NordVPN threat protection feature protects you from viruses and malicious malware, and one NordVPN account can be used on up to 10 devices.
So you're saying that I could use NordVPN to watch the third season of Resident Alien that just dropped in the US while I'm still here in Canada working?
Yes, you can definitely use NordVPN to watch your show. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to our link, nordvpn.com/delta, which will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
At Fresh Thyme Market, we have a healthy obsession with produce. Not only are we committed to offering the freshest selection of organic, seasonal favorites, and Midwest-grown fruits and veggies, but our team members have tips, tricks, and other info up their sleeves. Like, did you know cherries have melatonin? Or that you shouldn't wash blueberries until right before you eat them? Or that when cranberries are ripe, they bounce like a ball? Crazy, we know. For all your fresh produce and unrivaled expertise, stop by your neighborhood Fresh Thyme today.
We go out to the corridor. Miles One is leading them to this panel. It's O'Brien. It's Odo Sisko. He shows them where this panel is. Odo decides he's going to check it. I thought this was a little extra dramatic for me. Please stay over there. I will check it.
Well, yeah, so I'm watching this going, okay, so Odo, so you're not going to be in danger yourself. You're going to be the one
Well, he
taking it.
stands out of harm's way. I
I
agree
get
with you,
it.
but he
Yeah.
stands, you know.
He stands and lifts it up and scans it, but it took a while. I wish there had been a tighter shot so they could have picked up the pace editorially because it took a while the
It
way,
did. But
yeah.
I assume that they could call in, you know, when they call in the bomb squad and they have all that stuff covering themselves. Maybe there's a Starfleet group that has a bunch of armor that comes in that, you know, can take care of that, but they didn't
Now,
do that.
if they could have afforded it, they
If they
would have
could
put
afford
him in,
Yes.
he could have morphed into that. Yeah.
That's true.
Yes. But after he checks it very dramatically and takes quite a while for him to get through it,
Yeah.
he says it's safe. Sisko thinks this is based, well, thinks that based on the other time jumps, that Miles has about 5 hours until the next one. And they decide to place a surveillance device there to see if anybody brings a booby trap to plant this phaser booby trap.
You know what I was thinking? Instead of a surveillance device, Odo could have turned into the panel himself. He could have been the panel.
True.
See what I'm saying? He would have been the
Yeah.
surveillance device if he wanted to.
Well, the other thing I was thinking is back in 1995 or whenever this was filmed, we didn't know about Nest cameras or all of these home
Correct.
security devices. Like
No.
now, I've got literally a dozen cameras around my house that I could look at on my phone. You know, I would think that Starfleet would have something similar in the future, but
Yeah.
we didn't really know about that, those
Right.
things back then.
Right.
They actually, Cisco has to say, oh, let's get one of those fancy surveillance devices and put it here. You know, it seems like a big deal, whereas nowadays that would not
It's
be a big deal.
no.
We go to ops, DAX. Now we're starting to get into an explanation of this. Low-level Tetrion emissions might have caused this. She says that a singularity can cause temporal displacement, but there's no singularity nearby. And Bashir talks about, well, maybe he can remove these Delta series isotopes that Miles got from this radiation thing. When the panel breached and he got these isotopes in his body, if Bashir can flush them out, that'll prevent this from happening again. But he says it's going to take some time. And that's when Kira arrives and says, she mentions to Sisko, hey, I moved the Romulans right to some new quarters. And Sisko's like, wait, what? That's right by the panel where Miles was hurt. And then Sisko's decision is, let's see how this plays out. This bothered me. He does this a couple of times in this episode. He's like, yeah, you know what? We moved him right by the booby trap that kills our good friend, but let's see how it plays out.
Let's see
Let's
how it
not
plays
do
out. We
anything.
don't want to warn anybody that we're
No,
onto them. You
no.
know, O'Brien's life is of no consequence to
We're not going to be proactive at all. We're going to let it come to us. When it happens, it
I'm
happens.
sure
It's
we'll
like,
be able to deal with it once, you know, it happens. I'm not worried.
Romulans will be fine. No one's going to open that panel, I'm sure.
He does this again, though. He does
Yes,
it
he
more
does it
than
again.
once in
He
this
does it
episode, and I'm
again.
like, it seems out of character for Sisko. And anyway, we go to security office. Odo says there's class 3 surveillance device behind the panel, that he found this class 3 surveillance device behind the panel, that it was beamed in somehow. And Odo says, you know, this is weird because there's no booby trap there. It's a surveillance device. So this doesn't match up with what they were expecting. And Odo says he'll investigate the Klingons, the Romulans, everyone else. And he mentions Quark. And Sisko goes, well, you really think Quark could have something to do with this? Odo says, I always investigate Quark. I find a funny runner, even when you're not in the room, they're talking about you.
But I already thought that Quark and the Ferengis have gotten more respect by this episode in certain prior
Not for
episodes.
Moto.
It seems like Bashir and everyone, and especially Sisko, is more appreciative of Ferengis.
Yes,
And
but you
then.
know, if you invite a snake into your house, it's still a
Okay,
snake.
fine. 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 All right. Well, I felt bad for Quark, though. I was like,
Thank you.
come
I did
on.
too. I
Come
did too.
on.
They're
I
taking a
didn't.
shot at him even when he's not in the room.
You just stop beating a dead horse. It's already done. We already know you're not, you know, you're wary of Ferengis, but I thought that the Ferengis had redeemed themselves by this point, but clearly no. No.
No.
Okay.
Took
No.
7 years.
It took
Actually, probably took 8 years.
took 8 years, a year after the show was done. Then the
Exactly.
respect came. All right.
We go to Quark's again. Bashir says O'Brien cheated death. That looks like he's made it past this moment that he saw himself get killed. And Miles says it was just terrifying to not feel a pulse. Like that experience of seeing himself dead clearly affected him. And this is where Quark brings some drinks over. Ask Miles if he goes to the future again, you know, can you look at the Dabo numbers and I'll make it worth your while? I did like your lint removal when you're trying to harm him and you're just cleaning off his shoulder. It was a very nice touch. I like it.
Thank you.
That was good. So O'Brien's gonna, it looks like he cheated death. So we think we're beyond the problem, sort of.
We think.
We think, exactly. As they're leaving, suddenly there's a flash and he's in the infirmary. He sees himself. He lifts up the sheet. There's a body on the table, lifts up a sheet, sees himself dead, puts the sheet back down. Bashir enters, very happy to see him. So it's very confusing, this time jumping thing. I don't know which Bashir we're looking at. Bashir 2, Bashir 3. Anyway, this Bashir is very happy. He says, when you go back to the past, ask me to perform a basilar arterial scan. It's very important that Bashir says, I didn't realize that it was that until it was too late. And there's a little moment here where Miles is like, wait, you gave up on me? I can't believe you gave. He's like, no, I didn't give up. I tried for an hour, but
Just didn't check the right stuff,
just
so
didn't know that the basilar arterial scan was the thing. So tell me, go back and tell me. Nice scene. We go back to the promenade upper level. This is where O'Brien collapses again. Bashir calls the infirmary. And then we jump to the guest quarters where Odo is showing Sisko a replicator. He's traced the transport to this panel from this room. We
A
learn this has
vacant
been
room,
a
right? This is a
vacant
room,
room. Yeah,
vacant
okay.
room.
Been vacant for weeks. Odo pulls off the panel though. They see from a distance, Sisko can just look at the replicator and he can say, oh, I see what they did. What does he say, Sisko? Sisko has a line where he talks about, oh, I see they altered the transporter
Oh, you mean when
modules of this.
he goes, what do they do? Bring in a portable transporter and beam the surveillance equipment to the bulkhead? That line?
Maybe it's
Or
that. I don't know. There was something
okay.
in there where I was like, Cisco seems very ahead of this explanation, this complicated explanation. But yeah, it was basically the replicator got altered by somebody.
So, okay, so the science behind this is
Yes.
replicators are, they only work on the molecular level. Okay, that's what a replicator does. A transporter works on the quantum level. So, in essence, the replicator has to be sort of retrofitted in order to become a transporter pad to make it a quantum level
Okay.
device. So that's what the all that's what all that stuff inside there was to change that replicator into a transporter pad.
And Odo
Thank you.
explains all of, yes, thank you, Karen.
You're welcome.
Odo explains all of this in a very long story. Doesn't Sisko say, Odo, cut to the chase?
Yeah,
Yes.
he does. He
It's
does.
like Odo's got this long, complicated story. And basically, three Klingons are on the station. They're part of a covert strike force that reports directly to the High Council. And Sisko's like, why didn't you just say that? And I was like, well, sometimes I have to remind you just how good I am. So.
There's a comic touch in this episode
Oh, yes.
that helps with the more seriousness of the story.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
There's some great character moments for sure. So yeah, they're trying to spy on the Klingons are trying to spy on the Romulans, they think, and Odo can lock up these three Klingons that are on the ship and question them until the Romulans leave. So that's basically how we leave this scene. We go to the infirmary. Miles wakes up. He tells Bashir to do this basilar scan, this arterial basilar arterial scan.
Again, a cleverness. Who told you that? You did.
Yes.
In the
Oh,
future.
wow. Who am I to argue with myself?
Exactly.
It's short scene, but very clever.
It is.
But again, the relationship between the two guys,
Very
it's
easy.
not just the story, it's this character relationship that's being built up as well.
Yeah. We throw some Klingons into a cell. Odo does. We don't do it, but Odo locks them up. And they're very belligerent at first. And then Odo decides to reveal, well, Klingon intelligence doesn't like to be embarrassed. I'd hate to call them and fill them in on you getting caught, basically.
Okay, so one
So,
of these guys
yeah.
is Danger,
Yes,
correct?
Danger's one of
Yes.
them. Yeah,
Which
Danger's
one
one of
is
them.
he? I don't even rec I didn't even usually I recognize him in every prosthetic, but I
Danger
didn't.
is one of them. Yeah,
Okay.
absolutely. For
And he had
everyone who doesn't
lines.
know, Danger is our fight choreographer. He's a stunt coordinator, and was on both sets and is a dear man and did either did the stunts. Usually he didn't do the stunts, but he got people to do them for him. But he whenever there's a Klingon makeup and you need a stunt man, Danger's usually the one that is there.
But usually when I see Dennis
You
Matalone
can
in
tell it's him.
prosthetics, I know it's
You
him
can recognize him.
immediately.
Yeah, of
But this
course.
time I didn't even know that he was
Yeah, he
in
was
this
there.
scene.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there
I
was
did clock him.
the main guy, Morka, was
The
the main
older dude,
guy.
right? He
Yeah.
was an older
With
gentleman.
the bigger
Okay.
forehead. The
Taller,
bigger
bigger.
forehead.
Yeah.
The bigger forehead Klingon.
Yeah. And then two guys sitting back on the bench or
He was
something. They're
one of the
like in.
benchers.
Yeah, one
Okay.
of the back benchers. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Got it.
Bencher Matalone.
Enter Matalone. Okay.
We go to ops next. O'Brien is there. Bashir got most of it out. So Miles, he just keeps like cheating death here. He's like,
He's like a
keeps coming
cat.
close. He's like a cat. Bashir says he got most of it and just one more treatment. He has to wait an hour, but one more treatment. And Miles is going to be cleared of all of this. No more time jump. And then Dax says she may have found the singularity that's causing all this. And as they start to talk about this Dax information, another frickin' flash.
Oh, jumping all over the
Now,
place.
jumping to a roundabout next, or roundabout, a runabout, not
Or a
roundabout.
roundabout.
A
That's
roundabout's a
fine
very
too.
different
Yeah.
thing.
Then a runabout.
Runabout, people are abandoning ship here. I like this scene. This the chaos and the energy of the scene was great.
And
Robbie,
tons
I
of
just,
background. Tons of
tons of
background.
background.
I just realized if
Yes.
they took a runabout and named it the roundabout, you would have to say, this is the runabout, roundabout. That's how you would have to say, to
I wish
talk.
they had done that.
Yes, that would have
That
been
would be
fun.
good. On lower
Okay.
decks, they could do
Lower
that.
decks, they should have did that. Yes.
Miles One is there, though, with this abandoned ship situation. And he asks Miles Two, who's operating a panel, what happened? Miles Two says, some kind of explosion. I don't know what happened, but you've got to go back and stop it. And as they're taking off and flying away, Miles One looks back and the station
Incredible.
explodes.
Yeah, great graphic. Great
Yeah.
graphic.
This was the first and only time that Deep Space Nine exploded. So,
Really?
yes, this was huge. This was their big visual effects that they had to have. Their budget for visual effects on Deep Space Nine was leaps and bounds over the Next Generation's visual effects budget. They really
Really?
wanted, yes, because they said, we don't want to chintz out on visual effects like TNG did. And that's basically, they had the tiniest budget for visual effects. So they really, I think, not even quadrupled, maybe quintupled their budget for visual effects on DS9 just to feature cool things like this, like the explosion of the station.
I
Yeah,
just like
and
you
it's
said,
quite
quintupled.
impressive. It's quite impressive, the explosion.
Yeah,
Quite
very good
impressive.
explosion and a very, very impressive quintupled that you use that word.
I use quintupled, exactly. Yeah. So no CGI in that explosion. That's like a practical
It's all a
explosion, right? It's
model.
all model. Yeah.
Wow.
They actually, but yes, it is all model. They blew it up in sections is what they did. So they basically built two blow upable models is what they did. So
Blow upable, another
blow
big word
upable.
you're using.
I made another
You
word out there.
quintupled the blow
Quintuple. Very Shakespearean of you, Garrett.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
We come back to ops, and there are no clues from Miles' jump ahead in time this time. Sisko wants to quietly begin preparing for an evacuation, but he once again, let's just wait. Let's just wait and see.
Yeah, hundreds of people's lives are at stake. Let's just wait. Let's just wait.
Let's see how this plays
Is that his
out.
line? He doesn't say that again, does he? And in this?
Basically,
Yeah, he does.
he
I don't know if he says
does.
exactly that, but his intention is we can wait. Let's just see what O'Brien does, and we can wait. If O'Brien doesn't work, then in a couple hours,
He
you're going to
does. Oh, that's
evacuate
right. That's right.
hundreds of people. It's going to take time. There's no time to wait, but we'll wait 2 hours,
We'll
and
wait a
we.
little. Just get ready to evaluate, but don't start yet. Let's see how
Well,
this
think
plays
about
out. Don't
evacuating.
tell people about it.
Don't
Now,
tell
you
people.
know, I don't know. You guys may or may not have been here in the fires, but when there was a fire nearby, they told us right away, get
They did.
out,
They did.
get out.
Get ready to leave. Yes. Oh.
He wants to wait and see.
He
So
does.
Miles O'Brien wants to jump again, though. He's like, I need to do this. I need to help, figure out what happened. He asks Bashir to flood his body with these isotopes. Just flood my body. Bashir's like, that's going to kill you. And O'Brien says there might be a connection with the frequency of the singularity and the isotopes in my body and this time shift where I keep jumping.
Right.
And that leads Bashir to say, well, if we can calibrate the time and the amount of isotopes and then pick the precise time to interact with the singularity pulse, we could maybe pick the time in the future that we're sending you to.
Yeah. Because the problem is this, up until this point, he's always been jumping 5 hours, right?
Yes.
So at this point, if he jumps 5 hours, the station's already blown up because it's not, it's not enough time. So they're
He's got to
trying to
jump
figure it
like
out.
2 hours.
2.5, 3 hours exactly. Yeah.
And I just want to point out to everybody who's never done this, the amount of technobabble that Sid has to memorize in
Yeah.
order to make these explanations.
Oh,
It,
yes.
it, it's remember that we get the scripts. Well, it depends on where in the week we shot it, but
Sometimes the day before.
sometimes the day before, probably not for this scene, but he has a lot of technobabble to memorize and make it sound as he does, to make it sound plausible.
Armin, in the context of our discussion, when you started saying that, when you said, and I'd like to explain to everyone who have not done this, and I thought you were referring to time jumping. I'm like, what?
I know, I
I mean,
thought you were about to talk about
I
that.
was like,
For those that haven't time
have a
jumped,
time
like I
jumped.
have.
We time jump all the time. We're just not aware of it. In the sense that when you remember things, you
Yes.
jump back in time.
Oh.
I've mentioned this
Yes.
book that I read years ago. I should reread it because I may have like completely mangled it in my memory now. But there's a philosophy book basically
Okay.
called Time and the Art of Living. And it's about
Ooh.
time travel, basically.
Nice.
It's about how we can time travel, do time travel, and hang on to time, and how time is all one thing. We just separate it out into linear time in our minds.
Yeah. We
Right.
make it linear. It doesn't have to be linear.
No.
And that's
I mean
DS9's
that's the
theme
thing
in the
about
beginning,
Einstein
right?
and his relativity theory is that if someone, we all know this theory that you'd go away and you'd come back a couple of days later, but for people on Earth, it would be a couple of years later.
Yes. Read Time and the Art of Living. Highly
Okay.
recommend.
Thank you.
We jump to the infirmary. They've figured out this plan. Bashir's putting this device on his arm. It's kind of techno. It looks like a horseshoe with a blinky thing on it. Puts it on his arm. This is the time jump device. By the way, he made this time jump device very fast. It's pretty easy to make a time jump device. I started thinking, wow, if you can make a time jump device that quickly and you have figured all this out, this could solve a lot of problems moving forward. Oh, the Klingons are coming to attack us. Let me just jump to the future, see what's up, and then I'll come back and
Come right back.
All you need is blinking lights. That's all you need. Blinking lights.
Yeah, he made this very fast, but he explains to O'Brien, you can activate it yourself and jump forward, and then you have to activate it to come back. And O'Brien is ready. He does mention to Bashir, there's a message in my quarters for Keiko if dot dot dot. And Bashir says, I understand. So we get what that refers to.
We do.
Very sad thought. And by the way, maybe Keiko should get that letter because she's got a new husband now with the new guy that
You're
shows up.
giving away the ending.
I know. But there is a letter from Miles One to her. We go to O'Brien's bedroom and he sits up, pops up, looks at the clock. Miles jumps.
The darkest
Yes.
set I've seen on this show. It was like, my God, did they have any light at all? After an episode of shining bright light in his face, I go, that's really dark in that room.
It was dark. Well, Miles 2 was sleeping. So Miles 1
I know,
jumps.
but
I like a dark room. By the way, how do
Yes.
you guys like when you go travel and you're in a hotel, do you like full blackout or do you like a
Full
little?
blackout. Full
Me
blackout.
too.
Full
Full
blackout.
blackout.
Hey,
Agreed.
didn't sleeping Miles have zero covers on him? Wasn't he just lying on a mattress, it looked like?
Maybe he's a
I
hot
mean,
sleeper.
he's fine. Okay.
At least he didn't sleep naked. That would have been awkward.
And he didn't snore. So we have to
Yes.
thank him for that.
Yes. He didn't have a CPAP machine on or
That's right.
anything.
That's right.
He was,
No,
he doesn't snore,
Miles 2
clearly.
had the CPAP. Or
Yes.
actually, Miles 1 had the
Miles
CPAP.
One had
Miles
this.
1. There you go.
But Miles One wakes him up, tells him they got to find out what's about to happen. And I like in this two shot, this, twins moment, how they both say, I hate temporal mechanics
Oh
in
my God.
unison.
Robbie, that was their warp particles moment,
It
wasn't it?
was their warp particles moment.
Yeah.
But that's hard to do to get to shoot the same actor in a split screen, timing out a line quite that perfectly. It was done really, really well. That was tr extra tricky and funny.
And them being in the same scene, that's costly too. We talked about the
Time, you
ship
gotta
blowing up,
takes,
but that's and they did it several
a
times in this
lot.
episode.
But they take off together. We do see the beginnings of Miles One suffering a bit as he leaves the room. You see him kind of suffering. So,
All the radiation,
yes, we go in ops. Both Miles come up on the lift. Another cool split screen. That's cool. They explain that a Romulan ship is decloaking. As they're explaining what's happening, this Romulan ship decloaks. It starts firing. There's a big attack. Miles One is really suffering from the radiation. At this point, he collapses. Miles Two tells him to go back and warn everyone that the cloaked Romulan ship uses a confined singularity to power their ship. So that must be what it is. And Miles One said, no, I can't go back and warn them. I'm dying of radiation poison. Take my horseshoe armband, put this on, and you go back and do it. Miles Two at first is like, no, I can't possibly. Miles One goes, it doesn't matter. But it does matter because Miles Two has a family on that world. Now that family's going to have the dead Miles.
It's not a different
What?
family though. It's the
What are you
same
talking about? It's
family.
the same family.
Yeah,
But
it's just that it's a different entity.
time.
I also, going back to the conversation we had earlier, they both guys appear on in ops, And nobody clocks the fact
No,
that there are two
there's two
O'Briens
of them.
standing there.
So
Oh yeah, nice to
true.
see you both. And no one says which one is which. I mean, forgive me for going back to my production of what is it, Twelfth Night. There's a moment in my production where which one are you?
Right.
And they should have. Why are they? Why are they
Yeah.
just assuming it's okay for both of them to be there without going, which is our Miles? Which is
Yeah.
our Miles?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's Starfleet uniform Miles and plain
Or
clothes
the one in the
Miles, right?
bathrobe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only differentiation. But you're right. It is a little odd that yeah. But in the end, O'Brien won. Dying O'Brien says, "I'm you, you're me. It doesn't matter. Just go, go." That's it, right? Just
It
go.
happens pretty quick.
Yeah. So really, the only one that lives is a duplicate. He's not the original,
That's
correct?
right. They've killed
Yes.
off a series regular.
Yes. He
Yeah,
is a
that's what I thought.
duplicate.
They've killed off a series regular.
Yeah.
Well, he does take it. Miles 2 takes the horseshoe armband. We cut to the infirmary. Miles 2's there. He's not happy to be there. You
No.
can tell when he wakes up, when he says, "It worked, O'Brien to Sisko." He's kind of distracted, I guess, is the best word to use. He's affected by this decision to replace the other guy. But he tells Sisko to raise shields, that it's the Romulans. They're there. They're cloaked. And Sisko raises shields, stands weapons by. And then back in the infirmary, Bashir scans him and says, "Wait a minute, the Delta radiation doesn't match." Because Bashir knows how much radiation he put in him to make this jump, and it's not the same numbers. And this Miles 2 says, "There's been a change." And Julian seems to. Oh, okay. He gets it, but he doesn't seem to have much to say about it. It seems like pretty big news.
Oh, I have a quick pause. So what happens to Miles One's body then? Because they stop the attack, Miles One doesn't actually collapse and die there right before the attack happens. I mean, do they bury that first Miles? I don't.
I think they're separate timelines. So in the time jump timeline, it goes off on a different
Right.
thread.
I mean, that's something that they didn't address is if they change the past,
Yes.
doesn't it affect the future?
Yes.
It should,
It should.
right?
It should.
Yes.
This
Oh,
is the time
gosh.
travel part of the story where my brain explodes. And there's
Agreed.
been a change. That's an ambiguous line. And he'll have another one in the next scene as well, where I go, does Miles 2 not remember everything that he did in the future? And
It seemed like
that more than
he
anything
should.
bothered me. He
Oh,
should.
interesting.
But
Yeah.
this line is ambiguous. I don't know if it's a lie or there's been a change. Is that something he senses? Is that something he knows? I don't know. And in the next scene, in the dart scene, it's obvious he doesn't remember stuff. And I go, why? Why don't you? You remembered going back to tell Bashir that it was a Basil, whatever that was.
Yeah.
You remembered that. Why don't
Yeah.
you remember everything?
Yeah. Interesting. Well, let's see what happens. Next scene is in the wardroom. We see Ruan, the Romulan, questioning Quark. When Sisko enters, Quark is very happy to be sent away. And this is where Sisko exposes that the Romulans, that he realizes the Romulans feel like the Dominion is a great threat and that they were going to destroy the station and then hide what they did by collapsing the wormhole and making it seem like the wormhole destroyed the station. Sisko says, "I have weapons locked on your warbird right now." And the Romulans are busted and they leave
They don't
in
even
shame.
give it up, though. Both
No.
Karina and Ruan, they would be great poker players. They didn't give anything up. They just sat
No.
there like, "That's a great theory. I don't even know what you're talking about."
Yeah.
They don't say anything. They say, "Time we leave. Bye-bye." They're gone.
But we know Sisko's right.
Of
They've
course.
uncovered the plan.
Yeah.
This is where we go to Quark's for our last scene.
Now, before
Miles.
we go any further,
Yes.
one they call the signature thing a something singularity, a temporal singularity. Now, I'm not much of a scientist, but for me, singularity means a black hole. It means everything's collapsed into a pinpoint of matter. It's a singularity. That's what's running the Romulan ships?
I've never heard that either, that their engines are powered by singularities.
A singularity, I mean, as I understand it, and I could be totally wrong, for and someone who knows better than me, please educate me. But that's saying that a black hole, which sucks everything up and doesn't allow anything to exist outside of itself, that's why it's called a singularity, in my opinion. How does that run a Romulan ship? Why did they choose that
I
terminology?
wonder if instead of warp, the Romulans have developed some way of creating an artificial singularity, and that's how they generate their power. Maybe it's kind of like a nuclear diffusion or
But
something.
doesn't a singularity suck up everything? So it
Well, if you're
shouldn't
talking
create
about it,
power. It
yes,
should suck up power.
it should. If
Again,
you
I'm not a physicist. I don't know, but I'm just an
Right.
actor.
Well,
I don't even
maybe
play a
it's if
physicist
you
on
suck
TV.
the energy that's in front of the ship, it's going to draw that ship forward. If you
Maybe
use
that's how
that,
they do it. Maybe.
maybe.
But it's a temporal singularity, which I think is different than a normal singularity, aka black hole, which sucks everything in. So I have the
I
belief that
don't
it has
know.
something to do with the fact that they have cloaking technology. Like they can't have regular warp drive because of the cloaking technology. I feel like there's something connecting
Oh,
the
interesting.
temporal singularity, which gives them the energy. It's the only thing that can handle a cloaked vessel as well. Like something to do with the cloaking device is why they have to have a different way of propulsion or a different way of generating power. But you're not incorrect, Armin. It
It
is,
seems like
you
an
are right.
odd
Singularity is a
description,
black
yeah.
hole. A black hole is what sucks up energy to the point where everything collapses around it. So that would mean they would be dead every time they take off, right? So they
Well,
shouldn't
how
even be
does
living.
warp work? Not to get into too much like, propulsion dynamics science.
They can
Warp,
move
how does
faster
warp work?
than light. They move faster than light. Warp is, from my opinion, is warp is light speed, and then warp two is beyond that, and warp three is beyond that, and yeah.
But
I've
how does
always
it?
understood it like this.
This is a piece of paper, okay? So what happens is you want to get from here to here. Okay, whoops, here we go. Here's where you're at, okay? And you want to warp to here, which is really far away. W the warp drive bends space so that now the two places are closer. So now you get there faster.
Thank
So
you.
that's what I
Thank you.
understand warp to
Oh,
be.
you're
It bends,
warping.
you're warping space, you're bending space. So
Interesting.
that's what I understood it to be. And that's how we
Thank you.
get to distances that are way far away.
That's crazy, though. If we're bending space, then
Yeah.
everything in that space got bent with it,
But you're only
right?
bending it for what you're for your ship itself. You see what I'm
Oh.
saying? You're not bending all of space so everyone's like, ah, like tipping to one
No.
side. Yeah. It's literally
I want to
that would be
see that
crazy.
version of warp
Yeah.
where everybody's like, whoa, somebody's
Whoa!
warping.
God damn it, who's bending space now?
Who's
Yeah, that would be very
warping now?
who's warping now? That's very
That's
funny.
funny.
Okay.
Okay, final scene. We're back in Quarks.
Yeah.
Miles does know the game results of this dark game, calls Bashir's shot. He says 20 outer ring, and sure enough, that's what he hits. But then Miles admits that he feels odd, like he doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
And he heads off to bed. As he's passing Quark, he says, Dabo. Quark's like, wait, what? Dabo? What? And then they call Dabo at the table. And Quark suddenly understands. He has a bit of an aha moment. Wait a minute, Miles, Chief, wait. Yeah.
Yeah, and again, I go back to that this conversation where he says something. I feel odd. I don't. It's his, he doesn't remember what he's been through. That's what
Interesting.
that indicates to me, that he
Yeah.
doesn't
Okay.
re I feel odd. I don't feel like I belong here. That's not someone who remembers, unless he's lying, which is possible, but.
Okay. Or is he just saying, I know that I am from the future, I'm Miles too, but I'm also the same person, so it
Yeah,
shouldn't matter, but it does matter. It feels wrong, even though I can
I
intellectualize
didn't
it.
get that from Cullum's performance, and I'm not
Yeah.
blaming
Okay.
him because it's not spelled out in the script, I'm sure.
Right.
But it just seemed like I don't I
I don't
something's odd.
remember.
I don't feel right here. And that was just a sense of something, not a knowledge of something,
Yeah.
which he should have had a knowledge of, as I
I
said,
think so
because in
too.
all through the episode he remembers what happens in the future and brings it back to the
Brings it back and
past.
tells Bashir what surgery to do and all that. Yes. If he does know that, then what's he telling Keiko?
Yeah,
Well,
that's.
it's still him. It's just he's gained some extra life experience.
Yeah, I
Well,
guess so.
5 hours
5 hours
worth
of
of life
life experience.
experience. That's it. But he still feels weird, which is fine. I can buy that.
Yeah,
But
of
I still,
course.
but my favorite part of this scene is not even scripted. It's basically the end when he says, when you hear the crowd say Dabo, and Quark realizes he's telling me about the future. Wait, Chief, wait. Colum's reaction as he's walking out. He just does that little laugh, like, wouldn't you like to know the rest of this? And keeps walking. So good on Colum's part.
So if he's forgotten that he's from the future,
How does he
why,
know?
how does he know? How does he know? Tell
That's
himself,
why I
I
don't.
know that that's a Dabo.
Yeah. I don't think he's forgotten. I think
You
he
think he's
knows
lying? I
he
think
just
he's,
feels
yeah.
either lying or he just feels odd about it.
Yes, I
Like, I
think he
know I
remembers.
intellectually shouldn't feel any different.
All right.
There you go,
Well, yeah,
visionary.
visionary, done. Time for a lesson, theme, or moral of this episode. Robbie?
Mine is wordy, but basically, what I got from this is if you have insight into what's ahead, that the right thing to do is to share that honorably, you know, that and I use that word to sort of cover both do something or don't do something, but be honorable about that knowledge with the future. That's a responsibility if you know how something's going to end, is to do the right thing with that insight. That's what Miles did. He did the
Okay.
right thing.
Yeah. Armin, do you have a.
I'm tangential to that, not too far away, but different. What I wrote was, the bravery of one man can change the future of others, because he risks his life. He accepts the isotopes and in fact dies. But it's the bravery of one man can change the future of others. He saves all the lives on the station.
Yeah.
Saves them all.
Yeah.
Because he was willing to be irradiated with the isotopes, and that's quite a heroic thing that he
Very
does.
heroic, yeah.
So that's my theme. I also think that it is the sacrifice of an angel. It's the sacrifice that he makes in order to help his friends and his community.
Nice.
I don't really have one. I mean, I'll go with what you guys say. I'm fine with
Does it
that.
make
The only
sense?
thing I could say is never trust a Romulan is really kind of I'm gonna be my nail on the
Or
head.
Quark, for that matter, which is
Quark. I
also in
trust Quark way more than I
the
do a Romulan. I'm gonna say that much. So, all right. Okay. Well, the Patreon poll, theme, lesson, moral of this episode, as submitted by Renee Wiley, is the future is not written in stone.
Well,
That's
that's good. That's
good.
very
Yeah,
good.
I
That's
like
excellent.
that.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
that's
do
good.
too.
I like that a lot. All right. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to our recap and discussion of the episode Visionary. Please join us next time when we will be recapping and discussing the episode Distant Voices, and that will be with Terry. So join us for that one. And for all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. Everyone else, see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Dabo.
Ha